Welcome to the Church for the Nations official podcast. You can find all of the CFTN teachings for free at www.podbean.com/CFTN. Join us for today's message titled, The Lions of God by Dr. Michael Maiden.
Our main text today will be 1 Chronicles chapter 12. You can see it in your notes or I'll put it on the screen. The Bible says in verse 8, some Gadites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness. Mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle both shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as gazelles on mountains. It lists 11 of their names. Actually, there's a real prophetic significance in their names, but for time's sake, I'm moving to verse 14. These were from the sons of Gad, captains of the army. The least was over 100, the greatest over 1,000. These are the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it had overflowed all its banks, and they put to flight all those in the valleys to the east and to the west. Father, I thank you today for the privilege of ministering to your church, your bride, your people, your children. Thank you for your word that lives and is powerful than a two-edged sword. Anoint your word, anoint your servant, anoint your people. Speak to our hearts, awaken our courage, our destiny, our purpose. Awaken the lions in this room. I pray in Christ's name, and everyone said, amen. There are seven things that I saw that these Gadites, as they came to David, and David in the Old Testament is an easy method. He's an easy type of Christ because of his life. His name even means beloved and anointed. And so David represents Christ, and these are the Gadites, people from the tribe of Gad coming to him. And then it lists some of their characteristics. And the first characteristics was they were mighty men of valor. Gideon was an Old Testament a leader, but before he was a leader, he was just a guy struggling. And he was pressing out wine in the wheat press, and he was working out a black market income, the Midianites that oppressed Israel. And he's frustrated, but he's doing something. And one day an angel from God showed up and said, Gideon, you mighty men of valor, the Lord is with you. And Gideon hadn't done anything that could, by characteristic or by definition or by achievement, qualify him to be a mighty man of valor. But the Bible doesn't talk to you about where you are. It talks to you about where you're supposed to be. The Bible doesn't just identify your human gifts. It identifies your spiritual purpose. Yeah, the wind's blowing. Turn off your phone. For us as believers, the Bible is our mirror of identity. And what it means is, listen to me, you are who God says you are, not who life says you are. You are who the Bible says you are. And so if God says you're more than a conqueror, even when you feel conquered, you're more than a conqueror. If God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If God says you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, if God says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, if God says those things, they're true, because what God says is true, even if the facts don't yet align with that. And so the Bible called these men mighty men of valor. And I just want to declare over you, you're a history maker. You're a world shaker. You have a destiny. You're a one-of-a-kind original masterpiece. You're God's workmanship. You're God's child. He loves you. God loves you for the simple reason you were born. And his love will never leave your life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, my sister, and my everyone, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. God's will for our lives as his children is that we be strong. Now, please get this. God doesn't say this is only for people that have strong personalities, only for type A personalities. For the rest of you, you don't have to be strong. That's not what God says. God says any person from any class of life, from any kind of personality, never let your personality steal your destiny because you give an excuse. If God says you can be strong, you can be strong. Why? His might, His spirit, His word, His name, His gifts, His fruit. Everything God has for you makes you stronger, makes you better, makes you able to overcome, makes you a lion. Okay? You're a lion. You're a lion. It's time for God's people, the lions of God, to get their roar back. You were made to roar with heavenly authority against injustice, oppression, and every weapon of the enemy. Let me say that again. You were made to roar with heavenly authority against injustice, oppression, and every weapon of the enemy. You were made to roar with persevering, prevailing prayer for God's kingdom to come on earth and His will to be done as in heaven. You were made to roar with passionate worship, giving God the glory that He alone deserves. The lions of God. Okay, so it's God's will that I be strong, and God's spirit is the way it's going to happen. His word and spirit make me strong. Tell your neighbor, I'm a lion. Tell you, I'm a lion. The second thing the Bible says they were trained for battle. They were trained for battle. Ephesians chapter 4 says this about the church and about the purpose of the church. And Christ Jesus gave some men and women to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ. Now you have to change your mind about how you think of the church. So you don't pay me to minister in your place. My job is to equip you for your ministry, because everyone in this room has a ministry, has a destiny, has a calling. Someone called me the other day. I hate to admit, they said, Pastor, I need you to come and pray for someone in the hospital. And I said, I'm not coming. And they said, why aren't you coming? Because I don't have a big Jesus and you a little Jesus. Pray in tongues for 15 minutes. Read healing scriptures. Walk into that hospital room like a king and lay hands on that person and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And the same Jesus that would use me will use you. For 1,000 years, we've been in this classification where we have clergy and laity. And so the clergy do the work and the laity watch or give or pray. But in the church, there are equippers and then there are doers. So I'm a coach. You're the player. My job is not to take your place, but my job is to equip you. My destiny is to help you fulfill your destiny. My ministry is to help you find your ministry. We're an equipping agency. And so here's a couple of thoughts. If you're teachable, your destiny is reachable. Christ said, blessed are the meek. Why? They will inherit the earth. There is always a pathway to fulfill your potential in the kingdom, but it always requires childlike humility that says, teach me what I don't know. The older I get, the more I'm willing to acknowledge I don't know stuff. Someone asked me a hard question today. What's the answer, Pastor? I don't know. Well, you're a man of God. I know. The closer I get to God, the more I don't know. And the more I'm comfortable about not filling in the blanks. Well, I think this and that. Or I think that star and that. They asked me, where did Abel's wife come from? I don't know where Abel's wife came from. Maybe his rib? I don't know. Who knows? The Bible doesn't say. Oh, it's so good to be unafraid to say, I don't know. Okay, maybe that's just me. They were trained for battle. A couple more points on that. You're not ready to reign if you're not willing to be trained. Okay? You're not ready for some reigning if you're not willing to go through some training. Okay? So people that mess up their moments are people that didn't go through enough preparation and training to maximize that opportunity. Okay, so they were trained. And if you come to CFTN, we're an unusual church. See, our worship was kind of intense. See, in this church, We don't sit here and we don't all sit down and say, oh, let's watch our worship concert. We don't sit here and watch Derek. Oh, Derek's on fire today. Look at that kid. Oh, go, Derek, go. Oh, keep going, God. We don't spectate during worship. We participate during worship, okay? So I don't sit in the front row. Wait, man, I like the worship more than I like preaching. So I've just been all over the world, and man, and no place in the world worships like you people. They all think they do, but they just need to come here for a weekend, okay? Just slip by here and just see some stuff going on, okay? Third point, these men could handle a shield and a spear. Now, a couple things. The Bible says all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by inspiration, okay? It's God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished for every good work, the next verse says. So you have to get this. God's word prepares you to fulfill God's will. So if you want to, Pastor, I want to fulfill God's will, just keep devouring the word, okay? Keep devouring the word because it's inspired, it's instructional, it's going to move your life forward, it's transformational, and it will help you. The idea, just quickly, so one of the things that happens in ministry, so how many of you, one of the things that I do around the world is I'm modeling a healthy, loving, a biblical New Testament prophetic ministry. So that's kind of the rule. I mean, unbelievable opportunities are happening, okay? So the reason why I'm doing that is because the church has been exposed to so many unhealthy prophetic people. So if you don't know how to hold your shield up, even if you have a great calling, your personal wounds will defile your ministry. So there'll be an unhealthy edge in it. So lots of anointed people have a broken soul that brings a contamination to the outcome of their ministry. So that's just, you know, one thing. So all of us have to learn to be healthy. I.e. see Dr. McCray. Pastor Judy, okay? Right there's enough health that front row to help everybody in the law forum. It's giants. All of us have to learn to be healthy and to stay healthy. Shields up, baby. Why? That world's kind of aggressive out there. It's kind of stuff happening. Bill Johnson took my little quote and he put it, went viral. So what happens is then I get critics. I'm not used to critics. Ooh. I just wrote that for my sweet little church, and now people 1,000 miles away are saying vicious things. So if you're not careful, if your shield's not up, arrows get in, and you get hurt or offended, wounded, and those hurt, offenses, and wounds weaken your potential. It's hard to throw a javelin when you're bleeding, okay? It's hard to run fast when you're broken. Fourth thing. Their faces were like the faces of lions. When Mary and I regret to this day. So we got married young. Really, we fell in love at 19. We got married at 21. We would have got married at 19, but our parents asked us to wait. So I had this massive beard. I primarily grew it because I had a baby face. And I got tired of people thinking I was 16 when I was 20, you know. So I grew this big beard. Oh, there you go. Look at the beard. But it, so I, in the wedding picture, everything's all these nice people. Then it comes to me, the huge beard. Oh my God. Why? Why, 21-year-old Mike, didn't you cut your beard? Says the 59-year-old Mike. Says going back in time and stop it, shave it. You'll regret it. So I'm picturing these Gadites, just one massive beard, like a beard, mustache, eyebrows, afros. So they look like lions. Okay, they're lying like men. Now, a couple of points. You'd be shocked what you look like in the spirit. I love praying for people, and God shows me the coolest things. A lot of times I'm praying for someone who's young, and I'm praying for them, or like a tiny woman, and I'll pray for them. In the spirit, I see like they're 15 feet tall, and they're strong in the spirit. They're lion-like. Okay, in that dimension, you're a different person. The spiritual part of you. And so the Bible helps us recover that lost identity. We were made to roar. We were made to be lions. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Righteousness in the New Testament is our identity in Christ. It is the gift of right standing. It is a gift of sonship. It is a gift of adoption. And our righteousness is when we think right about what God's done for us. Then we think right about who we are. And your identity, listen, your identity unlocks your authority. If you want to roar with authority, you have to know you're a lion. Let me say it like this. Prodigal son comes home. He's disheveled. He's broken. But the worst thing that's happened is he's lost his identity. He went away as a son, but sin turned him into a slave. And he comes home and said, Father, I'm not worthy to be a son. Just make me a servant. And the father ignores him and says these things. Go back and get the best robe. Go get the family ring and get new sandals. And here's the progression. I'm going to re-robe him in a new identity. I'm going to give him authority. The ring was the signet ring. Your identity unlocks your authority. So the Bible tells you who you are in order to release what you can do. I am a child of God. I am a history maker by DNA. It is in my birthright. Religion handcuffs the conquering nature and heart of the lions of God. That's an important point, because inside of you, there is a cry to fulfill kingdom destiny that often religious traditions handcuff and bind and mute. And God wants us free, 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 free from all of those entanglements, all of those deceptive beliefs, and all of those powerless religious traditions. I am a child of God. I can do all things through Christ that loved me. I am more than a conqueror. Tell your neighbor, I'm more than a conqueror. Yeah, you're more than a conqueror. That's who you are in Christ. And that's what God has for you in this life. So it's, listen, the devil is afraid that the lions of God are going to awaken. He's afraid. He's afraid. You see, as you grow with Christ, there comes a time when God stops answering your prayers a certain way. And you say, God, I got this mountain. Please, God, move it. And God says, no, you move it. You're a lion. You tell the devil he can't have your children. You roar against hell and tell that disease it can't take your life. Jesus did not say, when you pray for the sick, beg God and you might heal them. Oh God, send the mercy drop from the sweated brow of my beloved Savior and let it cascade on the head of this poor suffering person. If by chance you might help them in their infirmity, I know you're busy. If it's your will, can you? Jesus said, heal the sick. Let the roar in you be stronger than the roar in them. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. In the name, see his name, authority, identity, his name. Ah, his name. The devil may have started, but your loving God's going to finish it. Point number five, they were swift as gazelles on the mountains. There's so many things that I'll just summarize it with this little point. I believe that God's releasing a glorious season of supernatural acceleration where you're going to catch up to places in life you were supposed to be before difficulty or detours came. And God's going to, here's what Joel says, I will restore the years to you. that the locust has eaten. I'll give you back in 10 weeks what 10 years took from you. I can do in 6 days what 6 months robbed you from. I can give you back. And so that acceleration, never think that God can't catch you up. Never think. Never think it. He can in one moment. Point number six, they crossed the Jordan when its banks had overflowed. They crossed the Jordan. So I like this point because it is really illustrative of their attitude. So the lions of God have a can-do attitude. What does that mean? There's nothing God can't do. Paul said, I can do all things. I can succeed when I'm abased. I can succeed when I'm abounding. There's no state in life, not even California, that I can't succeed in, Paul said. Whatever state I'm in. So listen to this point. You know your mind is renewed when you believe the impossible is possible. Okay, two points. So our brains are these wonderfully complex instruments, trillions of functions every day. The more we study neuroscience, I mean, the more spectacular the creation of God is. Wow. But we have, a bunch of components, but we have two functions of the brain. Left brain is logic, reason, deduction. And right brain is creativity, imagination, spirituality. And so the Holy Spirit is more comfortable in your right brain because he doesn't have to go through a maze of intellectual examination. He just shows up and says, we're going to do this. So visions and dreams and prophecy. So, but if you're not careful though, especially as men, women have access to both parts of their brain simultaneously. So that's why a woman has women have much more better memories because they can attach emotion to a memory. So your wife can say, 17 years ago this day, at 2:30 in the afternoon, you said this to me. And I'm thinking, I can't remember what I had for breakfast. But she's attached memory to emotion. But a man, testosterone comes in, the baby divides the brain. So men can't be simultaneously creative and logical, or emotional and logical. So when a man gets emotional, he always gets stupid. Okay? That's just what happens. My right brain's on, my left brain's out there wandering around. When men are logical, so what the Holy Ghost does when he comes into our life, he bridges that gap so that you're not in a left brain guy your whole life. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Thanks, Thomas. Okay, so God helps us find healing to our damaged brain as men. But all of us, never let your left brain steal the revelation of your right brain. Okay? So they come to the River Jordan. It's a mile wide. It's flooded. It's normally 100 yards wide or less. It's a mile wide, and any logical person would have said, this ain't the right time to cross that sucker. It's a mile wide, but they had heard from God, and they were lions. And they said, if God says it's time, let's do it. And they did what no one else was willing to do, because the lion in them said, if God's called me to do this, he's not going to let me drown in the middle of my journey. And they crossed at the wrong time. Almost every breakthrough I've ever had happened at the wrong time. See, even in business, if you're waiting for everything to be right, that's called heaven. I just need a couple more confirmations. Well, you've had 17 of them. I just need everything to line up here and that to fit. And no, sometimes you step out into the flood. Okay? And man, does God like it. All things are possible to him that believes. That's what the Bible says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, lions. You're a can-do person. You're a can-do history maker for Christ. And so they crossed, and the last thing the Bible says was they put to flight all those in the valleys. And I just want to dwell here for a minute because this is really important. The valleys, of course, it's an easy imagery. Valleys speak of the places, the low places of life, places of struggle. Most appropriately, I believe they speak of discouragement. So in life, some of the greatest battles you'll ever face are the internal arguments you're having in your own heart with discouragement. And the things you conquer in the valley, you reign over in the mountain. And before you can reach, I want to get this right, I wrote something down. People that ascend to the mountaintop of great positive victories first had to conquer in the valley the enemy's weapon of negativity. Man, this generation can't get any more negative. You with me? Even the church get negative and down, and then we pull out our ace in the hole. Well, Christ, at least Christ is coming. The world's going to hell, but we're getting out. Well, what if Christ is coming, but what if it's not for a little while? Why don't we occupy till he comes? Why don't we change the world till he comes? Why don't we fulfill our purpose till he comes? So in this battle, listen, discouragement steals the courage of lions. Discouragement steals the heart out of lions. Many great people capable of great achievements have been so bent over by the weight of disillusionment, pain, discouragement, that the lion in them has been stolen. But in Jesus, you get your lion back. In Jesus, you get your roar back. In Jesus, you get your mojo back. However you want to hear it, I'll say it. In Jesus, you get it back. I've said this before, but discouragement is often the greatest when breakthrough is the closest. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 36, David's 3 days away from being crowned king by Judah. He goes through the most discouraging assault he'd ever gone through. When the devil really wants to discourage you, he'll attack your finance and family. His family is kidnapped. His finance is stolen. His town is burned. He comes home. He weeps. His men weep. His men talk of, they go from sorrow to anger, the normal cycle of grief. David said, I don't got time to go through the seven steps of grief. He ran into God's presence, and David encouraged himself, the Lord is God. Now listen, he took accountability for his own emotions. I say this lovingly, but nobody can make you feel anything. Okay? Well, you're making me feel something right now, preacher. Sorry. Nobody can make you do anything. See, you can't get better until you accept the responsibility. That doesn't mean there were lots of people hurt me. I know all of that. Forgive them and get better. And so you have to beat discouragement before you can ascend into the potential, the promise, the great significance of your mountaintop destiny in Christ. And they, in the valley, won that day. Listen, the victories you win in the valleys of life when no one is watching give you platforms of influence to win victories in the mountaintops when everyone is watching. When you conquer In the dynamics of the seven mountains, the stronghold over families is discouragement. When you can conquer discouragement from your family, you can receive the glory of your family, which is blessing. You can receive what God has intended for you in your family lineage. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up there with wings as eagles. They will run and not go weary, walk and not faint. You got to do whatever it takes to get strong again. Come on. You got to listen to tapes, listen to music. You got to go to church when you don't feel like going to church. You got to read books. You got to feed your faith. You have to stop listening to certain things. You have to watch what comes in. You have to gauge your life, protect your soul. You have to do whatever it takes. Because if you can win in the valley, you will ascend to the mountain. And God will release a victory in a broader realm of significance. For example, David led a whole nation. He led them into freedom after he led his own soul into freedom, after he conquered discouragement from his own life. I declare I'm talking to the lions today, the history makers and world shakers. And listen, I have great empathy and sympathy, compassion, understanding if you're hurting. I get it. But there is a point when your heart gets healthy again. And when it gets healthy, it starts dreaming again. There's a point when you get healthy enough, you start roaring again. You stop letting life take you to where you don't want to be. And you start demanding by the force of the kingdom authority, the will of God to be done. Jesus said, you got to tell the devil how it's going to be. You got to tell life how it's going to be. You got to tell the mountains how it's going to be. Yeah, we keep praying for God to move mountains. God keeps waiting for us to move them ourselves with our faith, with our authority, with our ability as the people of God. Oh, the whole world's waiting. They're waiting for the sons of God to manifest. Part of the earthly tribulation is the earth really quivering in labor, waiting for the church to arise into its proper true identity as the children of God, manifesting the kingdom of God, the power of God. Things are about to change in your world. The devil doesn't know what's about to hit him. You're waking up from a slumber of sorrow. You're waking up from a slumber of discouragement. You're entering into a season when all kinds of things are about to transpire in your life. In Jesus' name, would you stand your feet and give God the glory this morning for his faithfulness? Come on, someone give God the glory. Say this out loud. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm a child of God. I'm a world shaker. I'm a history maker. I'm a lion, and I'm about to roar in Jesus' name. Come on, someone in this church roar this morning. Come on. Come on.
Thank you for listening to today's message by Dr. Michael Maiden. Find all of these teachings for free at www.podbean.com/CFTN. We thank you for listening today, and if you would like to get connected with our church, you can visit CFTN.com to find out about our service times, worship, outreach, and all the latest CFTN news. We would love to hear from you, and may God continue to bless you.